I'll get into it. Unless people have ideas for a cold open. I don't. I don't have any ideas.
Nope.
Okay. The cold opens, they're not every time. They're special. We get a, you know.
A little treat.
Yeah, a little treat when they happen. Yeah. Exactly.
I think okay. I think we just recorded it, though.
Yeah, I know. That's, there we go.
It's time to ham up.
Oh, I gotta really try hard.
Shut it down!
Somehow it's the best.
After the credits.
A Yum Chunks podcast.
Yum Chunks!
Hello there. The angel from my nightmare. This is After the Credits, Yum Chunks, episode 128, the Fall Guy episode. We're here and we're talking about the Fall Guy. And I'm Sean. I'm your host, Sean. Welcome.
I feel welcome.
Welcome, Sean.
I feel welcome. It's welcome to you as well. Hello.
That's Chewy.
Hi. Yes, it is. Hello.
I'm Sean. That's Chewy.
Hi. Okay, we got that. We got that.
We got that covered. Right.
Who else should we welcome?
What? There's someone else here.
I'm the other fall guy, Ryan.
A bunch of fall men.
Who's the
men.
First one?
This is based on that video game, right? Where everyone's running around like little rubber
Little
pickles?
Hot dog guys.
Little hot dog guys.
Little pickles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan, we were talking about how video game movies are having their moment right now, and you know, I thought maybe that's what we were about to see. But no. I mean, similar premise.
It's not...
the Fall Guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Fall Guy. Said people just like falling over and getting
kind
hurt.
Of.
Just like everybody getting hurt.
And it's a...
there needed to be multiple Ryan Goslings and they all should have been different colors and wearing different hats and stuff.
Oh, you know, actually, because they make different skins for your Fall Guys in that game. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're leaving money on the table here. Like, I think they're usually, I don't know if they charge for them, but I feel like they could charge a pretty penny for a Ryan Gosling skin.
Man,
in that game.
I would go back to play that game. Everyone's just Ryan
and his,
Gosling.
And his, and his costumes in the Fall Guy are recognizable enough that they would be recognized as the Fall Guy costume. You know what I'm saying?
Like, mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, internet, get on that. Or producers of the Fall Guy. Who does that? Epic Games?
I will find out right now. I have Steam open.
That's a good question. And also,
or is it on Steam? For some reason, I thought it was Epic.
I think
it's
I have it on Steam.
That's
I have it on Epic for some reason. I don't know. That's weird.
Or maybe I don't know. Because we played it with Chris, didn't we?
Yeah, I remember playing with Chris. Yeah.
You have it on Epic. The only reason to have anything on Epic is because it was free.
Yeah, that might have been why I have it on Epic.
Oh, that could be true.
It was free at some point.
And that's why I was playing.
Speaking of which, I'm seeing what free games are available on Epic. I haven't checked.
I haven't done that in like.
Oh, I do it every week.
I know.
Man, there's so many games I've left on the table.
It's the only reason I never take vacations.
I don't know if I follow that logic.
I don't understand. You're explaining it.
I can't miss a week of getting free games.
But you could do that on vacation.
You can?
Yeah, you could. You just sign in mobile. Yeah, they have mobile. They have the mobile app.
Oh, God.
All this time you've been trapped at
all
home.
This time
you never had access to a computer on vacation?
I tried not to, or honestly that. But
okay, but I mean you have it exists. There's ways. It's 2024, Ryan. The world has changed.
It's true. By the can they integrate a tie-in with Free Guy, because that's also a video game and it involves a guy named Ryan.
You're a guy named Ryan.
What? I'm in the sequel.
Who's your favorite? As a Ryan, who's the better Ryan? Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds?
Gosling. I know I'm going to upset some people, but it's Gosling.
Controversial. All right.
Yeah.
Starting this episode hot, everyone.
I think at this point, if you had said Reynolds is the better one, you'd... because of where we are in time, more people would have been angry.
True.
A year ago.
Yeah.
I think... the Gosling answer would have been way more controversial.
True.
But now, with Fall Guy, post-Barbie,
yep.
Gosling.
Post-Barbie. Yeah. But we have Deadpool and If coming out,
true.
So...
it's the Battle of the Ryans this summer.
It is.
And, yeah.
Wow.
You're the real winner.
Yeah, there was somebody on the Facebook Regal Unlimited group that I'm in trying, like, just like, I don't know, am I the only one that thinks that the Fall Guy and Free Guy are the exact same movie?
Saw the Fall Guy trailer, I did like, wasn't there a movie called that 2 years ago?
It was, they cited the same reasons that you did, you know, jokingly.
Right.
But they were serious.
Oh,
and,
no.
And everybody was like, no, you're definitely the only person who thinks that.
Yeah. What? That's like, they're both named Ryan? That's not...
And they have a similar title, and there's action. Yeah. If a movie has action, it's the same movie.
Has Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds been in the same... They have yet to be in the same movie, right? They should. Get on that somehow.
Get along, little doggies.
Get along. Ryan Gosling's yet to be in the MCU, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's... what are we talking about? What's going on?
Oh, we're talking about what we're talking about. This is what
that's
we're talking
right.
about.
We're all over the place. We skipped over Chunkfire. We're already into the Fall Guy.
It's okay. It's all themed. It's all... Okay, so what do we do at Chunkfire? Let's do that.
Chunkfire.
I didn't do my homework. Okay, I got... What have I been watching and playing and seeing?
And you're a teacher.
Yeah. Well, my teaching philosophy is very much do as I say, not as I do.
I like it.
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll let you catch up. You could copy off someone else's work as Ryan goes. Cool. So, Ryan, what chunks do you got?
Oh.
Did Ryan also not do his homework?
No, I got some chunks. I got some chunks. I guess I'll save. I watched the new Amazon show Fallout, based on the video game series, and as a big fan of that series, I was surprised how much I liked it. Which sounds weird, but I just expect to hate everything now, especially things that I like.
I also, it's weird that you say as a big fan of that series, because knowing your actual opinions on all the actual Fallout games, I think as a fan of that series, you would differ from probably what most people consider a fan of that series. That what I said doesn't make any sense.
No, I know. It made sense to me.
As long as we know what we're talking about, yeah, that's exactly. all that matters, yeah. right? Not anyone listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess just a couple notes on that is that I was surprised but there was a lot of fan service in the show, but I was surprised to find it not abrasive, or at least not as abrasive as, you know, those kinds of fan servicey things certainly can be. And if the listeners will remember my review of the Mario movie, I found those fan service elements extremely abrasive. So there's some calibration data for you. But yeah, they either found a way to integrate it, or just even if it wasn't really integrated and it was like very just kind of like, okay, that was a thing that led to nothing. I didn't find it offensive for some reason. I think the show is a well-made show, and you know, all the production value is pretty high and all that kind of stuff. So and I was surprised to some degree how much constraint they showed in terms of introducing a lot of the like lore elements. There's a lot of big elements that weren't even really mentioned at all that I was like, oh, they really are in some cases trying to stretch this out and get some mileage out of the lore. So it was good. I overall enjoyed it. I didn't think they stuck the landing, but overall good show.
I was going to also mention that, so I'll just jump in. I don't really have much to add to that because I generally agree with all. Though one thing I, you know, wanted to say is that my favorite part was the tone. I thought they, as someone who mildly is familiar with the Fallout games, it felt like they really nailed the tone of this, of the dark, gross, disturbing, with the irreverent, funny, just like kind of like tongue-in-cheek, almost slapstick style comedy sometimes, and the way the games at their best blend those, and I thought the show did a really good job while making actually like a story that I was far more like actually surprised I was into, like, oh, what's there's actually a story and like a what's the narrative here, what's the background here. I actually kind of care about this more than I was expecting, so I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah I agree with the tone stuff. I was delighted to find it as funny as they made it. Some part of that was like funny casting, like that's sure, always goes a long way for me. Spoilers, but I love Fred Armisen. He was in it for a very short amount of time, but I love him and Chris Parnell.
He was
so
awesome. I was gonna say Chris Parnell was one of my
he was great. So a lot of highlights in that regard.
Goosey. That's, you know, that's,
yeah, Goosey. That's, yeah, it says Goosey. Your name's Goosey. that was pretty good. Yeah. So yeah, it gets a thumbs up. That, which is that was a joke.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's great when I just have to say the words.
When you will get it, yes.
That was a joke. I guess my other chunk I'll share is that last night something evil and dark possessed me, and I went to go watch Star Wars Episode I in the theaters.
Oh no!
I don't know. Something like told me, I was just like, no, I know this is a bad movie, but like it's fun, right? Like it'll be fun. Like, oh yeah, like I haven't seen this movie in the theater since, well yeah, 25 years or whatever, 20 years, whatever it's been.
Ryan, you and I were having a conversation the other night about like walking out of things, and I think you were talking about, you know, you haven't walked out of anything like a movie or play or whatever, and
yeah.
I was like, there's one play I've ever walked out of. And I thought there was only one movie that I've ever walked out of, XXX2 State of the Union starring Ice Cube. But now I'm remembering that the last time that they re-released Episode 1, and this was right before Disney, they were redoing them in 3D, and they were going to redo all of them. But then Disney bought Star Wars, and then they canceled them all. I went to go see Episode 1 in 3D, and I walked out of it. I couldn't do it. Like, I just couldn't do it.
I mean, I will admit, there was a point, I don't know, halfway through the movie where I was like, wow, what? This movie's long and there's, why am I here? I could be doing something. I didn't walk out because, I don't know, it's not like it's really that worthy of walking out. I gotta, when I walk out of a movie, it better be worth it. I gotta save that, you know? Mm. I gotta save it.
Yeah,
you gotta have your one. And it's gotta be a good one.
Yeah, it's a statement.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think I need to like elaborate or give my, you know, vocalize my disgust for this movie. There's nothing that can be said about this movie that hasn't already been said. But I will say this, there was a couple moments in the movie that made me laugh that's never made me laugh before. And just because I'm like examining the movie in a different light, right? You revisit these things and different lines catch you in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
After Anakin yeah. wins the big pod race, his mom, like pretty much right after it, she, in a very serious tone, says to Anakin, "You've given hope to those who have none." Like, what are you talking about? Like, who are you referring to? Like, it was a race. I don't, what are you talking about?
It was a race that was gambling for money and like, what, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about? And then the other moment that made me laugh, well, this moment used to make me just like cringe, but now it makes me laugh, is when they're in the Senate chamber and they're all on those floating scooters, uh-huh. And I'm just imagining like Padme, Queen Amidala, has a little joystick on hers and she's moving it around and like just imagining her doing that, like, yeah. In this very serious and somber tone that she's addressing the Senate, like, made me just laugh. It was great.
Yeah, that is the, why are they rotating? Like, imagine the U.S. Congress, and when a senator or congressman gets up, imagine them, they're just like walking around the aisles as they're giving this speech. They're just like blindly wandering, meandering through aisles, like stepping over people, squeezing between the seats. Like, what are they doing? Why are you moving around in this?
I mean, yeah, okay, yeah. So logically, if you're going to be in a big, you know, theater in the round, you get a big screen. And have a little camera in front of everybody's little station, and when someone's speaking on their mic, you throw it up on the screen. What? Yeah. Okay.
Do you think those pods are on a Wi-Fi system, like, you know, rides nowadays, that they're just like, they could be programmed on different tracks about how they want their speech to go? Ooh, now programming near the Corellian sector delegation, because this part I want to hit in front of them.
I would want that job. I would want that job to program the little tracks out. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you did that. But
I'm not. You brought that on yourself.
No, I brought it on myself. It's my own fault. I didn't feel good after. I didn't feel good.
I don't feel good about talking about it with you.
No. Yeah, we can stop talking about that.
Move
That's
on.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pass it off to Sean.
All right, I'll give Chewie a little bit more time to jot down some notes.
I got my notes. We're good.
Oh, okay.
All right, cool. Well, I'll still go. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Well, like saw a couple movies, and I didn't see episode one, thankfully, but I saw a movie called Devil Man on a show. What's it called? The Late Night with the Devil. That's it. They went the devil. An indie-ish horror film. I think it's Australian, actually. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was really fun. The premise is basically it's this late night talk show, Johnny Carson-esque, kind of from the 70s, and on Halloween night, and it's shot and, like, you know, presented as if we're watching the actual episode of the show, and crazy things start happening, dark things, and he has, like, a psychic on, and he has a possessed girl on, and, you know, stuff is happening in the studio, and it's live, and it's all being recorded, and these are the lost tapes, and, yeah, it's fun. I will say it never quite hits the full promise of the premise. I think they set it up to be a little too much, and I wish they didn't, because they set it up as, like, this is the authentic footage, and this is found footage. But from the very beginning, it kind of breaks that, and not any significant ways. And I am being maybe a little too, I don't know, splitting hairs here. But between takes, they, like, it's supposed to be found footage, but it's, like, clearly they're just shooting this like a movie. Like, it's just them talking backstage, and it's just shot like a, you know, shot, reverse shot, wide shot. Like, this isn't found footage. Mm-hmm. But they set it up at the beginning like, this is all found footage. And it's like, if you didn't say that, it would have been fine. But the way you're kind of, I'm making a bigger deal. That really isn't that big a negative, but it never quite kind of lives up to that ideal. But what it is fun. It's just like a fun, it's also not like, it's a horror movie, but it's never scary. There's suspenseful moments, intense moments, but it's never like really frightening. And the ending was a little expected, predictable, but in a way that's like, yeah, I know what this is going to be, but it's still a fun time, and they do a really good job of capturing that 70s TV show vibe. I thought they did it. Okay, so anyways, recommend that. I do recommend it. Definitely recommend it. It was fun. And then I saw another movie called, and I think you guys have seen this, maybe not, Monkey Man.
Yes.
No, I missed that one. I wanted to.
Okay. Another recommend. I enjoyed it. I was going in with, you know, I thought I was going to like it. I thought it was going to be kind of like a John Wick take. Dev Patel wrote, direct, produced, starred in. It was that, but it was actually, I don't want to say much more, but it was more than just that. It was part that, but it was also like a part political kind of weird. Had, you know, thing in it. It was a rags to riches story. It was a character kind of piece. So I don't know. It was, I think, a little bit more than I was expecting, which elevated it. And that when it did start kicking in, you know, high gears, it was really fun for that element too. Nothing like amazingly blowing your mind or anything, but I would definitely recommend that as well.
So. Let me chime in here. So I actually did like it as well. In fact, it was a while ago that I saw it, but thanks for reminding me. But I did also like it. But one thing is that I wish it had more of was just Dev Patel. I think he's a great actor, and I think he was being a little too, I don't know, John Wick-y in that he was being stoic and tough or whatever, but he's a great actor. Like, I wanted to connect with that character more, like emote, give some, like, show us what you got. You know what I mean? I really wish he had done that more. And also, I'm confused on the message. I don't want to say too much about, like, you know, the ending and everything. Cause I think the message,
it gets a little messy and convoluted.
Yeah.
It, like, on a very surface level, it's like, you know, it's an action kind of crowd pleaser kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when you kind of start to think about anything maybe too much, some things maybe don't quite always line up. But I don't, in my opinion, didn't fully detract from it, but I agree. It maybe just, you know, didn't kind of rise to the top cream of the crop kind of thing, but I would still definitely recommend it. And like, the stuff in the middle was the stuff that was most surprising, and especially the stuff where I wanted more from Dev, or wanted more of that kind of stuff, because it was when Dev Patel was doing a lot of like the great, like, kind of the, his, again, not spoilers, but, you know, kind of his training-esque montage and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff was super fun and cool, and I don't know. I actually thought he was, like, as his premiere, you know, directorial debut, not too shabby.
Like, no, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought he had a good hand in terms of the action for sure.
Yeah.
And while like he definitely there was an inclination towards the flashy. It's an action movie for for what it is, but not like overly indulgent in an amateur way. Like I don't know. I'm looking forward to him potentially getting more opportunities to direct and evolve and mature and stuff, because
absolutely
I liked what I saw, and I definitely
I would love to see more of that. Whatever he's got in his creative bag, I want to see more of it. Also seeing him in, well, for one thing, he gets insanely ripped. He's got like 0% body fat, and he's if you know him, he's got these lanky arms, right? But they're just shredded with, you can see every fiber of every muscle of every sinew. Anyway, he wears a suit, and I was like, man, he would be great as like Spike. I think he would make a great Spike. Anyway, and just the way he fights, and he's kind of like all over the place.
Yeah, that's a good call. All right, for the season 2 that has been canceled of the Cowboy Bebop live action TV show. So, anyways, those two movies, and then lastly, I was going to mention Fallout, but what I'll mention instead is I read a book that has pictures, otherwise known as a graphic novel. I read The Last Ronin, the TMNT graphic novel that came out a couple years ago, and which is apparently now in development for a feature film. That I think is the case. I heard that a couple weeks ago or something. Awesome. I didn't read it because of that news. I just heard that news. I mean, I'm glad it was widely regarded. And after the TMNT animated film from last year, I had like, I sought it out and was, had, you know, had some turtle fever. So, I was happy I read it. I think my expectations were maybe too high because it was good, but it was also not quite what I was expecting. It was really great on the turtle stuff and the action, but I think, like the stuff where they try to get super emotional never really resonated with me in it. Especially like a lot of the backstory with like April and her, what's going on with April O'Neil, which that's cool, and Casey Jones and all that kind of stuff. Some of that stuff never really clicked with me, but in terms of like the turtle dynamics, and if you know the premise, it's basically a future and one of the turtles, you don't know from the outset, but you know, fairly early in, one of the turtles is the only one left alive. The other turtles have all been killed, and that turtle is out for like revenge to kill the Foot Clan and the head of the Foot Clan, who's taken over New York and is like a dystopian, Escape from New York kind of cyberpunk future. Kind of like actually The Dark Knight Returns. It kind of reminds me of that actually. Anyways, I do recommend it though, especially because the movie's coming out, and I'm sure, I actually think this might be a case where I might actually like the movie more than the graphic novel. Even though I didn't dislike the graphic novel, I just think maybe they'll do a little better job with some of the issues I had with the graphic novel. But anyways, those are my chunks.
Yay.
Chewy, what do you got?
Hello. We finished Frasier.
Great.
What an emotional time. Yeah, well, I've mentioned in the last couple episodes that my April has been a very, very busy April, month of April. Maeve and I moving to a new house, which the both of you have helped with at some point or another. Very much appreciated. While also, at the same time, the exact same time frame, trying to put on our school musical, which just closed as of this recording a few days ago. The SpongeBob musical. It was a lot of fun. Big, loud, colorful, fun project to work on. So now I have more free time. Kind of. Our house is still full of unpacked boxes everywhere. In fact, I was late for recording this very episode because I did not know which box my podcasting mic was packed in. I had to find it. Oh no, something fell. This place.
Oh no, your podcast mic just fell off the table.
This place is a mess. Okay. It was, a level for hanging up picture frames. Okay. Anyway, so we're still facing putting the whole place together. There's a lot of work. But it's nice. It's a nice place, so it's worth it. Anyway, we finished Frasier, so we started watching the BBC show Ghosts. Have you guys heard of?
Yeah, I've watched a little bit of it.
I've been meaning to watch it. I know my parents, or my dad anyway, watched the American version, which I heard is not as good, but I don't know.
Yeah, I heard the same thing too. I have heard good things about it, about both of them. We just figured that we would start from the beginning, and we just finished season one last night. And I'm loving it. I'm really, really enjoying it. Cool. Yeah, it's a good premise. I mean, it starts off with basically the exact same premise as Beetlejuice, but not as just off the wall. Just a couple moves into a haunted house, and then of the men and the woman, for plot reasons, is able to see the ghosts and communicate with them, and the ghosts want them out, and comedy and drama ensue. It's a good time. And it's fun because there's ghosts from like every era of time, to the point where there's like a caveman ghost and all these different centuries, and they all have different historical perspectives and outlooks. And it's one of those shows where you have a bunch of different crazy characters interacting with each other. It's just take any two or three of the big cast and put them together, and you're going to get different comedic situations. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. I'm having fun with that so far. I'm really looking forward to watching more of it. And then I saw the movie Abigail.
I've been wanting to see that. Yeah.
Well, then I don't know how much I should talk about it.
Oh, well, no, yeah.
Did
you like it or not?
Okay, you guys have seen the trailer. You guys know what's
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the
vampire Valerian girl. Okay, yeah. So I generally liked it, though I was very confused that, you know, the movie starts off for the first like 20 minutes or so going, wait, am I in the right movie? Because like the movie's supposed to establish the tone and give you a taste of what the movie's going to be like, and I thought I was watching like a spinoff of Fast and the Furious, like some kind of like action heist movie. Yeah. Like I'm the cool guy and I'm the driver and I'm the whatever, and I feel like the movie is trying to make the fact that the ballerina girl is a vampire a surprise. And it's a little late for that.
Sure.
So I don't understand. I can't explain it any other way. Like it feels like that was not supposed to be the big selling point of the movie. That was supposed to be kind of a surprise because they're setting up this like mystery and like, okay, what's happening and who's behind this situation that we're in. And then like, you know, that at some point that information is going to be revealed. And so you're sitting with that in the back of your mind for the first 20 to 30 minutes of the movie going, okay, well, how much of this information they're giving me should I retain? Is it going to matter? I don't really know. Once it takes off, it, you know, turns into one of those classic horror movies where it's like, okay, a dozen people trapped in a house, what order are they going to die in? It's one of those kind of movies. It's fun, and, you know, and it's fun watching it. I was watching it with Maeve, and we were trying to actually predict who was going to die next and who was going to be this person, who's going to sacrifice, who's going to whatever. And so, you know, like kind of, I don't know if you guys were ever into the Final Destination movies. You know, they're not good movies. They're fun camp to kind of play along with, if you will. So, also, I kind of feel like Universal's trying to start the Dark Universe again.
Oh, no. Was there a stinger at the end about something?
There was
Tom Cruise at the end.
No, there wasn't a stinger, but there was definitely.
Did they deepfake Tom Cruise?
No. No, I don't think. No, I think that version of the Dark Universe is dead forever. But
there's still a newer somehow.
I feel like they've for decades been trying to make some kind of Universal Monsters larger cinematic universe. And
yeah,
they are. Okay, so the.
Is Russell Crowe.
No. Sorry to bring it to theme parks again, but it's like half of my brain is dedicated to that topic. Universal's building a new park in Florida, and an entire area of the park is called Dark Universe. And it's all Universal Monsters themed, which is cool because I can't think of another big theme park that has like a horror themed area.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that believes that, you know, because it takes so long to plan and design and build these theme parks that like they were assuming that the Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe Dark Universe was going to work. And then when it didn't, they're like, we better Okay, strip all the references to those movies. Just make it generic. You know, it's Universal Monsters, the archetypes. Yeah. But now I'm going, wait, are they trying again? I don't know. Just, it's fine. Just give us the classic versions. It's fine. Yeah. Stop trying to reinvent.
I mean, as long as the movies, individual movies that they are making are entertaining, whatever. Do whatever dumb universe you want.
I don't need a universe.
I don't need it. Fine. The problem is, what The Mummy were not that it was part of the Dark Universe. It was that it sucked on its own.
Right. That's the thing, is that, like, you know, make a good one. Like they did with Iron Man. Just make a good movie. Yes. And exactly. If people respond to it, then you give them more. Don't be like, hey, this terrible movie. Don't worry, we got six more.
Yeah, you didn't like that meal I just made? Well, I just made, you know, 20 more meals for you in the exact same style.
Yeah, we meal prepped it. You got 10 Tupperwares in the fridge. Enjoy.
Does anyone know, like, what the actual plan was? Like, were they going to have The Mummy fight Dracula? Like, what was the plan?
Are they going to team up?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, are they...
maybe they all form a Monsters Avengers to team up and fight Van Helsing. And then they all lose.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what the plan was. It was you know that it was like, okay, expanded universes are the hot thing right now, and Hollywood always learns the wrong lessons. So we better oh shoot, that's what the kids want. Okay, give them what they want. Anyway, Abigail was enjoyable.
Well, tell me, as someone who was interested in seeing it, should I go see it? Should I prioritize it over things like, I don't know, whatever else is coming out soon.
Star Wars Episode 1.
Sean, go see it with some friends.
Okay.
Go see it with some friends on a late show. Maybe have a couple drinks. Just go, like, have a turn your brain off fun time. You guys will enjoy it.
That sounds like I just got to get some friends.
Yeah, right. Get some friends. Yeah. It'd be a good one to put on at a Halloween party.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I got. There you go.
Oh, okay. That's it.
That's it.
Well, yeah. Cool.
That's it.
Sweet. Well, now we're ready to fall onto some guy.
Yeah.
Fall onto some guy. I think, Ryan, you?
Yeah. Are that's correct. All right. Well, spoilers for The Fall Guy from here on out. Okay. So the movie starts with Ryan Gosling plays a stuntman who's on a movie set, and he's dating one of the camera gals, played by Emily Blunt, and they're very flirty and flirtatious as they're doing their work on the movie set. Anyway, he's about to go perform some big stunt, but it ends in tragedy when something goes awry and he has an accident. So we flash forward 18 months later. He was injured from the accident, and he's quit the whole showbiz thing. He's no longer a stuntman. He's like a valet. Anyway, he gets a call from a movie producer. Her name's Gail, and says, "Hey, we need you. We need you on the movie set to do the set, to do the stunts. Only you can do these stunts because you're the stunt man." And it's your old girlfriend Emily Blunt's movie. She's directing it and writing it. You have to save her movie by coming and doing this. And he goes, "Okay, fine." So he does. But it turns out he is really brought there to find the star of the movie, whose name was Tom, and he's gone missing, and they need to get him back so he can be in the movie. So he says, okay. He throughout the film, he's going to be flirting with Emily Blunt, so I'm leaving that out. But just imagine, in between every other scene, he's flirting with Emily Blunt, and it's great and it's wonderful. So he goes up and tries to find Tom, and then he goes to a nightclub, and then he goes to a hotel, and in this hotel, he finds a dead guy in a bathtub, and he goes to get the police. But when he returns, the body's gone. So something's going on here. Something's going on. So he goes, he finds the location of Tom's phone and fetches it from a gal played by Stephanie Hsu. But that's all, she's in it. Anyway, he gets the phone and unlocks the phone and sees footage on the phone that shows Tom, the star of the film, accidentally killed the dead guy. I mean, he was alive when he killed him.
Clarify.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, it is. But after discovering this, he is assaulted by henchmen, Tom's henchmen, I guess. And they have a big fight, but he gets captured. And it turns out that the plan is to blame him for the murder. He's going to be the Fall Guy.
Oh, my God.
Yep, that's there
the
it
name
is.
Of the movie.
It's the name of the movie. But anyway, he escapes. He escapes. And then he shows up on movie set the next day to visit Emily Blunt, the director, for like the final day of shooting for her movie. And she's like, "What? I thought you killed the guy." And he's like, "No, I didn't kill him. It was all a setup." And she's like, "All right, well, let's make this master plan to get Tom to confess and get it on footage and record it. And it'll be this crazy scheme." And they do that crazy scheme through the film's final action sequence. And they're driving around, there's explosions, and Ryan is in the car with the Tom character. And anyway, he gets him to confess, and they win. And they beat up all the bad guys. All the stuntmen team up and beat up all the henchmen. And it all ends wonderfully when they show their movie at the San Diego Comic-Con in Hall H. Yep.
I've been there.
Yep, I've been there too. And they reference Comic-Con Hall H 3 times in the movie.
I feel so seen.
I feel seen. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, there's some like a weird kind of mid-credits thing where Tom and Gail... Oh, yeah, Gail ends up being a bad guy. And they get arrested or something, or Tom blows up. I don't know. Anyway, the movie ends.
And then it's Jason Momoa instead of...
Yes, then it's Jason Momoa because they had to recast him.
And there was something about karaoke.
They do some karaoke. Oh, yeah, there's karaoke. There's AC/DC... the whole film takes place in Australia, by the way. That's not really important, I guess, but...
Yeah, I guess it's not really important. Except randomly, characters will have Australian accents.
Yeah, it's pretty...
I guess not randomly. But...
Well...
It's not consistent, though.
Yeah,
it is...
yeah. It's true.
Anyways.
That's the movie.
Cool. That's The Fall Guy. Well, I'm at a disadvantage because you guys saw it together. You guys saw it with friends. I didn't see it with anyone except for a whole bunch of strangers. Who they probably sucked. Maybe they're cool. Anyways, what did you guys think of The Fall Guy?
Well, yeah, being at a disadvantage, we probably liked it twice as much as you, Sean.
I know.
And as such, I really liked it. I thought it was very funny. It was very funny, more funny than I possibly would have thought. It was also a good movie and enjoyable and had a lot of action. It was probably too long, but that's okay. That's it.
I feel more or less the same way. Yeah, I had a good time. I was surprised by how funny it was. I went into this movie pretty blind, even though there was a big ad campaign for it. I just like, okay, Ryan Gosling plays a stuntman. That's it. I didn't really see trailers. If I did, I didn't really pay attention to them. And so I was surprised by how much I laughed out loud during the movie. Which is nice because I feel like comedies don't come out often or at all anymore. And I was surprised that this movie felt like as much an action movie as it was a comedy. But I also agree. I think it was a little too long. In the final act of the movie, I was surprised that the movie kept going. Like there was still more beats and more, okay, now this is happening. Oh, this person's getting away now. Oh, okay. I guess this is okay. And I would have had a problem with it if it wasn't all fun, because it was all fun. But but it did feel like it reached its natural ending point several times before it was over. But yeah, that said, I mean, it was all good time. So that's not really. I mean, there are worse criticisms to have for a movie. So yeah, I had a good time. Sean, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, I mean, I guess despite having seen it with no friends, it didn't affect my opinion that much because I also enjoyed it a great deal. I do think maybe I didn't laugh as much as you guys did. Not that I'm saying it was not funny. It was very funny, but I found my laughter not as much spread throughout the film as in like kind of very specific moments. But it was really funny in those moments. It was super fun. And a good time. So any criticisms I may have for it, which may come up in discussion, are to be taken lightly because you should go see it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great time at the movies. This is kind of the opening summer film that's going to kick us off so we could all enjoy Kraven later on. Anyways, but it's...
Is Aaron Taylor Johnson bookending the summer?
Exactly. That's what, yeah. He's Tom back again. But there is a weird element to this film that I cannot put my finger on. And maybe we'll get into it. And maybe you guys could help me. Or maybe I'm just crazy. But it's like, you know that scene in Spider-Man No Way Home when Doctor Strange phase punches Peter Parker and he becomes astrally out of his body?
Yes.
And there's like a dissonance between his body and his astral form and stuff. That there's an element of that in this film.
Are you the ones outside of your body?
I don't know. I don't know if it's me or the film.
Well, I think I might have an idea. We don't have to get into it yet, but I think I know what you're getting at, and I have a theory on it.
I might, or I'm way off, but yeah.
I mean, I'm not even quite sure if I know what I'm getting at.
Neither do I.
This needs to be... Okay, so this is going to be our group therapy tonight of why Sean felt that way. We're going to try to help him understand.
Okay, we'll get him through this.
But in process, we're going to try to understand as well.
And again, don't get me wrong. I mean, honestly, if a movie was purposely doing that, wow, that's awesome. I love it for doing that. I don't know if it was purposely trying to give me that feeling. And that feeling did not detract from any of the overall fun enjoyment I had.
I can't imagine anybody involved in the movie was deliberately trying to give anybody that feeling. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. That's
well, if they did, they
feeling.
Nailed it. So, but yeah, it was great. I mean, we were just talking about earlier, Ryan Gosling. What a Ryan. He's a good Ryan. That's, the Barbie stuff. You know, he proved he's comedically amazing or whatever. But in this, it's just furthering that. The chemistry with him and Emily Blunt, it was so good that it was awkward. I felt like I shouldn't be here. Yeah. It's weird me watching this chemistry. They're having a moment. It's not for me. They're flirting and stuff.
If there's one thing this movie does perfectly or does best, it's Emily and Ryan on camera flirting and feeling it's real, they accidentally left the cameras on and it was just them. Yes, you guys shouldn't be doing this. You're both married and the cameras are on.
Yeah. They have proof of it.
Yeah.
They're making money off of that proof. Yeah. So, you know, we're the ones getting scammed here. I don't know how much this movie's production overlaps with the production or the release of Barbie, but I definitely feel like they were very much playing up the Ryan Gosling of it all.
Sure. Yeah,
just some of the way that he's framed, it's just like, oh yeah, audience, this is what you came for. Here he is. The Gosling's here. Look at him in his full glory.
Wait, did you say the Gos is here?
Yes.
is that a thing that people say, or did you used to make that up?
It is now.
Dang, that's good. I like that.
I've heard somebody else say that.
My wife has said that. I don't know if she made that up or heard somebody. Look, it can't possibly be.
We're crediting it to your family somehow. Okay. It's all right. You guys are the originator.
Let me see.
I'm going to start saying the Ling is here. How about that?
I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Ling is here.
No, I don't like that. I don't want to hear you say that at all.
I'm going to say it directly to Ryan if I ever see him. And then I'll say, I'm also called Ryan, and then we'll hug.
And that's why you have to call him the Ling to separate between you two. Yeah. So people don't get confused.
I'm having trouble Googling this because I don't know how to spell it.
Ling?
No.
I think that's a dangerous Google.
The Gos.
Yeah.
Okay, the Gos is feel like this. Get better off.
Because the Geo... The
Dangerous Google, that's a good name for something. That's a good movie name. Dangerous Google.
Ooh, that's a dangerous Google.
Well, there was that movie, that found footage, quote unquote, movie with the computer, Unfriended. Do you guys remember that movie? Or at least
I do.
Did I see that one?
I did never see it, but I remember it because it seemed so stupid.
I think I did see it.
A Dangerous Google would have been a good title for that movie. I did that movie. I can't say.
Okay. I think I remember kind of thinking it was actually they actually had fun with that premise. But we're not talking about a Dangerous Google. We're talking about the Fall Guy. Yeah, anyway, it was Ryan. It was the Ryan Gosling show.
It was the Ryan Gosling show. And I'm not complaining about that, but they definitely knew what they were doing here. And I felt like, even with Ryan, I felt like there were times where I was the only one laughing in the theater, just at the sheer Ryan Gosling of everything. Just like, okay, movie, all right, settle down a bit, all right, like, okay, let's just calm down. Okay, we get it.
You know what he maybe reminds me of? As someone who's never watched Mad Men or early John Hamm stuff and is only exposed to John Hamm through 30 Rock and like Kimmy Schmidt and his comedic roles, it feels like that's what Ryan Gosling is going through, kind of. Like, you know, so people who are just now watching him are only knowing him as this like really funny comedic actor. But like if they go back and then they later on go and discover Drive or, you know, The Place Beyond the Pines, or, you know, whatever. It's like
Lars and the Real
Girl.
Can
you go back and exactly Lars and the Real? Can you go back and watch those films and like take him seriously anymore?
I don't know.
You see him?
That's a good question. Because
I didn't know who he was until I saw Lars and the Real Girl. I think I had to screen it for when I was working at the movie theater
library. Or the
it was a while ago. I think I had to screen it for that, and I did not know who he was, and I'm like, huh, what a strange movie. And so I can't get, like, that's who he is in my mind. He's the guy from that movie.
Yeah.
And so once Barbie came out and he's like, he's this big thing, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I guess he's a sex symbol. Cool. The guy who is in the movie about the sex doll. Okay.
Right. I think maybe I
get what you're saying. Like, if I were to go back and watch that or Place Beyond the Pines and stuff, I don't know. That might break my brain.
Yeah. And there's a dissonance there. It'd be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about Drive while I was watching The Fall Guy, because he drives in The Fall Guy.
It almost feels like they're kind of taking that and they're putting a satirical spin on almost like the character, the characters that he would have been in, like Drive or those more like hot, you know, serious, like even in something like La La Land. He was not comedic. There were comedic moments, but I wouldn't like, and he was great in that film for what it was, but he, even that was like a very like, serious isn't even the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's different than this or Barbie.
It took itself seriously.
That's the best way to put it. It took it seriously. And in this, he's not taking himself seriously and the film's not taking him seriously. Like, not that they're like saying this is stupid at all, but they're not taking themselves seriously. There's an expression for that I can't think of. What's the, there's like British, they're taking the piss. I don't know. Taking a piss.
I don't think that's it.
Maybe not. I don't know.
On that note, okay. A criticism. So there's this, in my opinion, half-baked thing they're doing where it's like, they're talking about like, oh, in the movie, that what happens to this character? Oh, well, in the third act of the movie, and they're trying to do this thing where they're like, like talking about the movie they're making and trying to make an analogy to the movie that we're watching. And that's a thing that I've seen and we've seen and has been in movies, and it felt very half-baked. I don't think that was as clever as they thought it was. And that all that didn't work for me. Thoughts, tell them.
You're touching on my phasal shift here.
Yes.
That is getting at what I'm referring to. So it's like you're saying, they're drawing attention to the meta-ness.
Yes.
Which I'm for that, right? If they're doing it, if they do it right and they do it funny and they have a spin on it or whatever, that's great. I love that. But they're doing it in like weird ways. So like, and they're doing it in a way that you can't ignore. Mm-hmm. You can't like pretend it's not part of the film. So, for example, the split screen phone conversation film, right?
Yeah.
They are literally doing what the characters are talking about. It is they're not even breaking a fourth wall. There is no fourth wall. It is just purely meta. And so there's moments of that throughout where it's like, oh, they're, you know, talking about filmmaking, or they're making references to the third act and where the story goes and if they should get together, all that kind of stuff.
And so I'm glad that you brought up the split screen scene, because That is a example of how it doesn't work. And then there's, and for me, there's a scene I can think of where it does. And when it's when he's on set and they're doing the take over and over again where he's like being slammed into the wall. And, he and Emily Bond are talking about like, what would the alien girl say to this guy if blah, blah, blah. See, that meta-ness is in-universe. So, like, if you... If that conversation happened in real life, it would be cheesy, but it wouldn't... It still works.
It still works in the con... But that... The split screen does not work in the same level...
No, because the characters...
Without that formalistic element of the
characters
filming.
Don't know that they're in a movie and that they're currently being filmed in split screen. And so I think I'm getting... I'm starting to get what it is that you're talking about here, where there's a dissonance in how they're handling the meta element of this film.
Yes, exactly. So the idea of like the meta element, ideally, it's not just that they're, you know, acknowledging things that we all know. Like that to me is like a very base level and it of like meta and self-awareness. Like, oh, look at this thing that we all know is a thing. Let's just point to it. But let's not offer anything more. And I don't think it's that bad necessarily. I'm not saying it's like the worst version of it, but it is a weird like in between of like, are they saying this? So they're making aware that this is a movie and they're talking about how, like I said, there's the split screen, but they're talking about how movie stars and producers and all this stuff are like, and you're making us fully aware that, you know, this is a meta thing. So if you're pointing out this stuff, are you commenting on the film industry?
Right, right. To what end here?
Not. Yeah, what, exactly. To what, that's to the, what the end? Ultimately, I was like, what was the point of any of this meta stuff other than just like, oh, we're stuntmen? But even that's not meta. Like, I don't know. Like, that's what I mean. It's like, I don't have a beat on it. I don't know where to land. It's, I don't, it's, not that I need to land clumsy. Anywhere, but you know what I mean?
It's clumsy.
Yes.
And I think that there was an attempt to try to do something bigger here because, it's a movie about making a movie. Woo. That's not a novel concept. That's been done 500,000 times. Which, like, okay, fine, that's okay. But, like, the fact that you're having a character who's a stuntman in a movie with stunts and then there's stuntmen, like, yeah, okay, there's levels to it, but does anything else need to be said about that?
Yeah, I'm not sure, exactly, and I'm... And that's what I mean is like if they're so in the movie, the actor, the producers, it's kind of like, oh, look at we turn these people into heroes, but they're actually not good people and they're crummy and they like, you know, they manipulate the system and they take advantage of the crew and the stuntmen and the people who don't get the claim. Like, okay, but okay, that's a cool. I'm on board. But you're still making Ryan Gosling the star of this movie and making him like I was waiting for the actual commentary. Like, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. Are you not saying anything, which you don't need to say something, right. but then you're purposely meta. So it feels like you are trying to say, so like, that's where I'm at. It's
a good way to put it. You don't need, you can just make a movie about a stuntman. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one of my favorite movies is, Living in Oblivion. With Steve Buscemi making the, you guys seen that?
I have not. I don't.
No, I mean, have you not seen that movie? I watched it in three different film classes in college, because it's a movie about making a movie, and that's it. It's a movie about how frustrating it can be on a film set, and it's a very well made movie about making movies, and that's all. Like it's got characters who are in the film industry and they're. Drama and their problems. Catherine Keener's in it. Their stuff that they deal with. It's like, okay, this is believable human drama. It's also funny because sometimes these things are absurd, but it doesn't have to like then look directly at the camera into the audience and be like, isn't this crazy that we're doing this?
Yeah.
Like, no, I get it. It's cool. I understand. I have a brain. I get what's happening here.
Yeah.
And if they're gonna go that way, then I, like I said, I feel it was a half-baked effort in this movie. Like, go further, please.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, none of this like detracts from the fun of any individual scene or the movie itself or the chemistry of the characters or the action going on. But it is a thing in the back of my mind. This whole like oh wait, they're not. Oh, they are doing. Oh no, they're not. What are they doing? I don't know. So my one thought, well, not one thought, but my one suggestion that I don't know if it actually helps this or helps cement a thing, but what I was wanting at the very end of the film, maybe even during the post credits or like the kind of like outtakey kind of behind the scenes stuff they showed during the credits, which that was cool. I like that. Is I wanted a scene of the during the final climactic moment of the film when Ryan Gosling falls out of the helicopter, right? Mm-hmm. And they do his fall. I wanted a scene of Ryan Gosling as Ryan Gosling looking at the playback on the monitor going, I think you could see too much of the stuntman's face. We need to retake this. Right? Like I don't know what that says, but it feels like, oh, they're hitting back on something here, right? Like and it's all about stuntmen and the underappreciated stuntmen in the film, and something like that where it cements the meta-ness a little bit more, makes it a little like, yeah, they are commenting on this, but it doesn't like make it too cynical, and it's a callback and it's funny and it comes full circle. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted something more. Maybe that would have been too obvious, but it felt like that would have been a funny little thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it could have been a good punchline after all this. Sort
I just
meta
mean that, like, if they're like, Ryan Gosling is a movie star, he's not a stuntman. Right. Are we like, it's hard for me to have those two things in my mind when the movie is all about how movie stars are stupid, bad people, and stuntmen are cool. But we are watching a movie of where it's the movie star, and you're not showing, like, it's Ryan Gosling, and you're
okay, so
like making Ryan Gosling as if he is the stuntman, but we know he's not. So acknowledge that he's not. I don't, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
So, on some level, I always knew, like, yeah, okay, stuntmen in these big action movies are the ones who are on screen most of the time. But a while back, when they were doing the press tours for Captain America: The Winter Soldier. There was on one of those night talk shows, they had Anthony Mackie and they were showing footage of him reacting to the first trailer of the movie, seeing it for the first time, the trailer. And for him, it was the first time he ever saw like himself flying around as the Falcon. So like they were showing a clip of like Captain America running around there on the big helicarrier thing. And then every time he showed himself, he just like started screaming like, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, do you see that? And, you know, it's kind of a, you hear a lot of interviews from, especially these Marvel people, these actors who play these characters are like, yeah, I spent hours on set, like in front of a green screen or hanging from cables. And I don't really know what it is that we're doing. I get my lines. I'm not really sure of the context. And I don't really know. I don't really understand until I watch the movie. You know, that's been kicking around in my mind for a while, and I feel like if this movie was gonna try to say something, I feel like drawing attention to that, the fact that, mm-hmm. you know, mass audiences, the type of people who would see a movie like this, who've been watching decades of action movies, I don't think it's a common understanding or knowledge or feeling or whatever that most of the time you're staring at the screen, it's not the celebrity. It's a stuntman.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a good thesis statement for the movie to like get people to experience that feeling. I don't know if that's what they were trying to do. I don't think so. And, it, and if they were, it didn't work.
Yeah. And that's what I don't want them. I mean, you know, if it's something I'm like projecting onto the film, if they're not trying to do that, then I'm not going to necessarily say they failed for something they're not even trying to do. But like, even in the behind the scenes outtakesy stuff, when they're showing them all doing the stunts, I think I wanted even maybe a little bit more like highlight of Ryan's stuntman,
right?
Or any of the stuntmen. Like, here is his stuntman, show his face, like show him, have him talk, dude, like do it. Like, I don't know, like it's a film, a love letter to stuntmen, but it still feels like it's like we still can't acknowledge them as
it's
like actual
it's
people.
Shallow.
I don't know.
Shallow.
Yes.
It could have. Yeah. It kind of feels like they're trying to celebrate this profession, but don't forget about Ryan Reynolds though. He's who you Ryan Reynolds for. And he's the guy you came for. You know,
Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds. Oh, right. I forgot my Ryans mixed up. Are there any other important Ryans? Oh, wait. There's one here.
Ryan Seacrest. He's not important. Ryan Seacrest is.
There's one on this podcast.
He's the least. Ryan Davis is far more important than Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, I would agree with that statement. Yes.
Anyway, sorry, I don't want to get too negative or anything like that with this whole line of thought, but I mean, it's just, that Sean, is definitely...
Don't apologize for your thoughts and your opinions. It's fine. People know what's going on here.
Yes. Well, let's praise it. So, I said I didn't like laugh as consistently throughout as maybe you guys did, but some of the stuff I did laugh at, one of my favorite lines was near the end, when, like, there's Emily Blunt is like, oh, we're going to do this plan. And Ryan Gosling is just like, and then we beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
I don't know. It felt like a Simpsons thing.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely like felt it like a Simpsons bit.
Also, highlights his character of, like, this weird... Is he, like... He's not stupid, right? Like, he's a weird character. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's not necessarily a criticism. It's like he's... He's kind of a jockey, kind of ultra positive, toxically positive, but he's not. He's emotional and stuff, and he's not stupid, but I don't know. It's a weird character that he plays here.
Yeah, I liked it because you can't quite get your head. He doesn't fit into any one little stereotype. Yeah. He kind of, well, I guess he fits into a lot of them. I don't know. But yeah, I thought that was great. And I also liked that they didn't do something where it's like, oh, because he is kind of downplayed, like he doesn't have as much, I don't know, skin in the game, and he's just a throwaway stuntman. Yeah. So I'm glad they didn't do something where, like, oh, it turns out he has this knack for writing scripts or something, or like some other. And like she was all the creative talent and everything like that. But they still are like a good team and everything. So I thought that was pretty cool. I thought there were. Yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Well, yeah, if they had done that, that would be undermining the profession. Be like, oh, you got to aspire to some... You're just a stuntman. So I feel that. I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, because I think too many movies do something like that, where it's like, oh, you're only this, but you could be this. It's like, well, it's okay to be what you want to be. Like,
And I mean, as much it is as a... It's not like a, I don't know, deeply emotional film by necessarily any means. I do think the emotion worked in terms of, like, him going through the stuff he went through after his accident. Like, that actually did feel somewhat real to me. They actually, like, I felt like this person who was not the guy that everyone felt I should be. You know what I mean? Like there was enough trueness to the emotions that were on screen that I think were very effective. Obviously, and especially in relationship with their relationship, but it wasn't overdone either. Like, it wasn't overly melodramatic, or it didn't, like, all of a sudden take itself too seriously. I think they did a good blending of those beats.
I agree
with So another, this isn't necessarily a criticism either, but another thing that I felt like was hard for me to kind of get a read on is. Was, like, it's an action film, but was it an action film up until, like, halfway through the film? Because they kept kind of having these false, like, kind of like, I tricked you. It's not really an action film. Until all of a sudden it was. By which I mean, like, it's an hour before anything of actual stakes happens. Does that make sense? Like, there's the whole beginning, and it takes a while before he gets to set, and then the set stuff is just a stunt, like the, you know, that it's a stunt. Like, obviously there's stakes in a crazy stunt, but there's no, like, anything outside of the realm of what a stunt is. But then he goes to the apartment, and, like, the girl with the katana starts like, oh, it got real, it's a real thing. Oh no, it's still just pretend. And then all of a sudden it's not pretend, like, whatever, an hour and a half into the movie is when the henchmen attack him or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so there was a...
The movie stops being concerned about suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's like, okay, now it's a movie. All right? You're watching something that's believable up to a certain point, and the point where you could feel it, it's very distinct. It, you know, it's like changing the channel. All right. Now you're watching this.
Yeah. And to the point where it's like, oh, because up until then, it's like, oh, he's just a stuntman. They don't make anything more. Like, stuntmen are stuntmen. They're skilled at what that is, but it's nothing more than that. Until all of a sudden, oh, he's good at fighting, and he's good at this other stuff, too. I mean, maybe stuntmen are just naturally good at fighting.
Well, I guess I thought that they would be better than say that, where, like, stuntmen, they are often filling in, when at least when the camera's facing their back, I suppose.
Yeah.
Where they're, so I don't know, I don't quote me on that, but I would suspect that most stuntmen, or a lot of stuntmen, are capable martial artists.
Yeah, they're probably definitely, they're more capable than the average person.
Although maybe they get, maybe there's like specialized martial art, or stuntmen that are, they're like, you know, okay, your specialty is martial arts. Yeah, and then like yours is, you can get thrown through windows, and yours is, you can drive the motorcycle.
Have you guys seen, you guys have seen Good Burger. Right. At the end, towards the end, there's the this is relevant. There's towards the end, there's the scene where they're trying to drive back to the restaurant before anybody eats the poison sauce, and they get in, and there's an old woman who's about to take a bite of the burger, and then they run up and they tackle her, and like, oh no, they tackled an old lady. That's the joke. That's funny. But I remember as a kid watching a special feature for Good Burger where they interviewed that woman, and she said, I'm a stunt woman. My job is to fall or to get hit or for people to fall on me. Like, that is my specialty. And I'm like, man, that's such a wild profession.
Yeah.
Like, your niche is to be an old woman who gets hurt in movies. Right? So on the topic of do stunt men specialize? Yeah, well, that one does. So I have to imagine that you're talking about, okay, like stuntmen who are martial artists or whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Unless
that
woman is just different.
No, I think that's probably pretty normal. Especially on a movie of that, like the movie of that budget that they were making, you know what I mean? Like, well, of this movie too, but like when it's an army, the crew is an army, then yeah, you're going to have very specialized, you know, stunt performers which is also another element I really liked, is how specific they were in the film making, like lingo, not just lingo, but just like all the little details of the filmmaking, while still being pretty approachable for a wider audience. But like, I know this sounds silly, but just like when they are in that scene where his girl, the Tom, the main actor's girlfriend, attacks him in the apartment, but it's all just like, and she drives the katana into the wall, and she pull, or he pulls it out, tries to pull it out, but the hilt comes off the thing. Like, it was a silly joke, and it wasn't even like that funny, but it, for me, it like rang really true with like, oh yeah, props are on movie sets are bad, and they're stupid, and they constantly fail, and they constantly fall apart, and you have that kind of stupid stuff happening all the time. Like, there was a lot of those types of like little gags or references where it's just like, oh yeah, this is just like very, you know,
or the
filmmaking,
the guitar gun thing.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas like you have the production designer or whoever come up, the art director come up and like, I did this. And it's like, I guess this is,
I thought that was a pretty good bit because it looks so stupid. Yeah. Well, not, I mean, it looks stupid if the movie's trying to be serious.
Yeah.
That was a good bit.
I mean, that being said, there, all those little filmmaking stuff, there are all obvious elements of filmmaking that do not, like, you're not making a film when you don't know the third act. Like, you don't, like, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Like,
and also, you don't film movies chronologically, typically.
Yes, exactly. That's also, so, there's obviously some, like, you know, Hollywoodness and stuff like that. But the details, I thought, I appreciate, like, I thought that was, like, cool. It's very, or even just, like, I don't know. I it's very believable that stuntmen are like quoting movies and like, oh, it's from that movie. Like,
yeah, those are running gags. It was okay. Right. It didn't.
It wasn't like super funny, but it felt like kind of authentic to me. Yeah, just like it feels how people.
Yeah, I like their little buddy bro stuntman camaraderie. I thought that was cool and believable, and he had a buddy he could talk to. Yeah, that was good.
What else about the Fallen Guy?
I don't know.
Well, one note. This is more of just like a wish. I was talking to Chewie about this, but like I wanted like a moment where they were talking about the movie a little bit more, like, right? Because when you're doing the movie about the movie thing, like, you kind of want to at least get an idea of like, okay, what is the story of the meta movie or of the inner movie?
Yes. Yeah.
So that way, if there is these parallels as this movie's kind of trying to do with like the meta thing you guys were talking about, right? Like, and then maybe we can draw connections where like, okay, we know the storyline of the inner story, and then we can start drawing parallels between the real story or something, or like do something with that. But
yes,
but anyway, I just wanted to know more about the Metal Storm movie because it looked so cool. It's like, oh, okay, so wait, what is the story here? Like, sure, Ryan Gosling, he's gonna throw the blunt, but let's get back to this whole Metal Storm thing. Like, what I actually wanted was for there to be a scene, and I think this would have been the split screen phone scene, because they're talking for like, I don't know, about 30 minutes of camera time, it felt like, where they could have filled it with more interesting dialogue. And I would have loved to have in that part of it, like, 30 seconds where Emily Blunt is just going off about all the insane lore she's invented for Metal Storm, right? Just think of like the most crazy Warhammer 40K bonkers alien lore you can possibly think of, and just have her go crazy for 30 seconds, and then Ryan Gosling is just like totally clueless and just says something stupid, right? Like, I think that would have been such a great moment.
Yeah. That would have been great too, because like, she seems to hold the power in that relationship dynamic for most of the movie.
Yeah.
And for her to have like a moment where he's like, this woman is a little crazy, would have kind of balanced that out, and I think would have humanized her a little bit more. And would add a little more heart. Yeah. And Ryan, what a good idea.
Yeah.
I will say, I did laugh. Another really funny part was after all of that whole like exchange on set, when he's like, oh yeah, that helps, now I could hit the wall better, or whatever he says.
Oh yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was really funny. Moment. Yeah, that was, yeah. Yeah, that was, actually, one thing I really did like, the first third of the film, I was like, they won me over completely. And even if the second two thirds were garbage, I think I was still like the movie, just because that first third is so funny. And they just let that scene linger where the entire crew is just like sitting down on the sand, chatting, or just like watching this random stuntman and the director like have this really awkward exchange.
Yeah.
I love that the movie just took its time and let that scene just flourish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was definitely something I noticed in that scene, but throughout the film, I think you guys were joking about the split screen, but I don't know. It was a very, I don't know what the word is, but it's this action thing, and they're like, it's this kind of like, secret, not spy plot, but whatever, like a conspiracy kind of going on, or investigation going on.
Yeah.
But then they take like 10 minutes out of them just flirting or talking about their relationship in the middle of all, like, and it was just like, it wasn't like them talking about this as other stuff. It was just like, no, here's now a scene of 5 solid minutes of this film of them just talking about their relationship, which, those scenes were always funny and great, so I'm not like not a complaint at all. But it was a very kind of a whiplashy kind of like tonal back and forth. Always like, oh, okay, now is this investigation real? Should we be in stakes of this, or is it about their relationship? I mean, it's about both, obviously. You know what I mean? But like, it was often just like very like, oh, okay, now there's a dead body, but we don't really care about the dead body anymore. Now we just care about their talking about their relationship.
Yeah. No, I did enjoy those scenes more, where like it was just, we're gonna take some time out from all the action, just to enjoy this conversation. I did enjoy that.
That Gale character and the Tonka, they're awful. I like that they were characters that you love to hate.
Yeah.
They're enemy. They're villains that you love to hate. They're awful.
Yeah. And, I could have used a little bit more from Tom, actually, just to kind of
I agree.
Could have been. I think they could have played him to be even more comically villainous, not to the point of cartoonishness, but just like he's so like dim-wittedly villain. You know what I mean? Where
because there's
a moment where Ryan's making fun of him for like, your brain's not functioning. You need to eat carbs. Like,
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I think they should have like played up him being truly the stupid.
Your brain needs glucose to prime. Yeah.
Actually, my favorite part of that scene was he's like, all right, you want to know where the phone is? This guy shot it out of my hand. He's like, what? You shot it out of your hand? He's like, yeah, I know. I've been waiting to tell you. I thought that was like so funny. And I wish the villain guy like gave a bigger reaction. Like, oh, no way. Yeah. I did. Like, I wish he was like more into the vibe of like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. But yeah, that was a great scene.
And there were actually like some payoffs that I wasn't expecting that I actually think did kind of bring it together, because throughout the film, it did feel like there's all these like weirdly disparate elements, and they did like the Miami Vice thing and like driving the boat. I could drive the boat blindfolded, whatever he says about it. Like, oh, okay. That was like, you did that. You know, those types of elements that I think they brought back or integrated kind of.
Yeah, the little setups and payoffs. Yeah. And those kinds of things. Yeah, it overall worked. It wasn't like the most revolutionary thing. Because I definitely did call it. I called it out to Matt like as it was happening. It was like, oh, he said the thing earlier in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess that was the name. It was like, if you're naming the movie The Fall Guy, it's like, it's not a spoiler, but like, right, you better have him be the actual fall guy for a crime. Like, right, that's like, felt like that was not a surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't think it was a surprise.
It's important in naming your movies. I think the Free Guy could have taken a lesson from this movie. Like, there was no free guy in that movie, and that's why it was not good.
There always needs, exactly. There needs to be Ryan Reynolds lost that battle.
That's like in Schindler's List. There was a list that Schindler made.
Exactly. It always has to be the thing the name is referring to. Like in Abigail. I assume the girl's name is Abigail.
That's correct. I can confirm.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay.
Good. any other Fall Guy thoughts then?
I have none. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I think most of our analysis was us just praising the fun parts that we liked, but it was overall a very enjoyable movie. Go see it.
I mean, I look forward to seeing it, especially when it's streaming. I could see myself throwing this on if I want to watch it, but also just like kind of in the background if I'm doing something else, just like something to have on that's really fun. But while it's still out, listeners, go watch it in the theater, because I think you will enjoy it. Also in that context. Cool.
Fall Guy.
Well, that's not all. We're not done. We're not done, listeners.
No, we're not.
Because guess what? We have emails.
Hooray. Emails. Right. We haven't had an email in a while.
Yeah, we got a bunch of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Goody.
All right. I will be your email reader for this evening. This first email is titled "A Blog Post About Your Last Episode." This is from Mia. Hello, I came across your pod, and I think you're doing a great job. We save podcasters 4 to 5 hours every week with our AI app. The app automatically generates a blog post and other content from your episode within minutes using GPT-4. Can I send you a link where you can try out the app for your last episode for free? No credit card required. Have a wonderful day. Mia. Reply no thanks if you don't want to receive any emails from me.
Thanks, Mia. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Well, I say no thanks.
I will confirm that we responded, and by we, I mean Chewy.
Yes.
No thanks.
Okay. Nathan Clegg, subject titled, Favorite Dune Words. Okay, so you guys, I'm reading these emails. I did not see Dune. I'm not going to see Dune.
You were not on the Dune episode.
I didn't listen to the episode. I'm not going to listen. I listened to everything up until you started talking about Dune.
I mean, you're the perfect. You're the objective reader for these.
But you're going to pronounce them all wrong.
That's perfect. Okay. Nathan writes, I liked Ryan's list of favorite Dune words, but interestingly, a lot of them aren't made up at all, but lifted directly from Arabic, Hebrew, Latin, or other languages. A bunch of others are just tweaks on existing words. Sometimes this feels lazy to me, but given the Dune universe is populated by Earthicans thousands of years from now, it sounds right. Also, I too watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for the first time last year. Must have been something in the water. Happy chunking.
Oh, great. Thanks for the email.
Well, we have another one from Nate.
Should I read that one, or do you guys want to?
Yeah, okay. Let's read your second one, and then we'll come.
This one's also from Nathan, titled Dune 2 Thought. And he says, one word, Dune 2 Thought. Did anyone else get lost in the inconsistency of the passage of time? Ryan already mentioned how fast the film is compared to the books and prior films, months instead of years, but it also didn't feel consistent or well posted to me. For example, when Paul sets out to cross the desert by himself, Chani shows up and teaches him to sandwalk, then cut to Paul and Chani working on equipment together, but there are other people there. I didn't need to see Paul finish his task, but it really felt like I'd find it on the cutting room floor. In other scenes, I swore Jessica's baby bump was gone, making me wonder if Elia had been born off camera, only to be followed by another scene of Jessica's talking to a fetus. Did the director change his mind at some point? It just made me feel like rough editing was contributing to time skips, or maybe I blacked out. It sort of made the movie feel like scenes from history instead of a single cohesive plot. Just me? So, what do you think?
So actually, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I've been thinking about that, and the Dune story is tricky because of the, as Nathan was saying, like the time jumping and trying to compress things into this, whatever, how long you got to tell a story, and the choppiness is definitely reflected in the David Lynch version of Dune, because like the second half is just a montage because they're trying to cram all this stuff, and it's just editing, you know, just dicing this thing up. And I think
it's like the end of Xenogears.
Like, and they're all sitting in rocking chairs. Actually, I mean, that's Evangelion is where that's really.
I don't get that either.
Yeah. Well, Nathan, do you get it? Is that a suitable analog?
I totally get it.
Sounds like Nathan. How'd you get it?
Thanks for the quick reply.
I gotta go now.
But yes, I understand what you're saying, and yeah, I agree. I feel it too.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it's been, I guess, a couple weeks since I've watched, so I don't, the specifics aren't fresh in my mind, but I do remember a little bit of like the time jumpiness, like kind of having those questions. So yeah, maybe on a rewatch I'll be more aware of that. Though the language the words and the different languages it draws from are interesting. What language does Shout Out Mapes come from?
I would like to know that.
Is that Arabic? Is that Latin?
Yeah.
I want
to
know.
Actually, I did know that Lisan Al-Ghaib is Arabic for Voice from the Outer World. Yeah. I did know that, but I wasn't sure if how much.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is, I mean, it is baked into, like, it's intentionally in the text of Dune that a lot of this comes from Arabic or Hebrew or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's not like he's claiming this is some wacky sci-fi thing he made up. Yeah. Like, it's obviously the historical origins are there. But that being said, some of the words themselves are still just like, I don't know. They're awesome and uncanny and weird and cool.
He chose all the coolest words from
languages.
What do you say, the Earthic language? What do you call it?
Earthican
languages. And yes. Put them into the future.
Duncan Idaho. Is Duncan Idaho Hebrew? I bet that's Hebrew, is it? Nathan, thanks for writing. I love it when you write, Nathan. Keep writing.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep sending us stuff.
Okay.
But that's not all.
This next one is from Kev Young, who I assume is the brother of Mia Young, who sent us our first email. Okay. Oh, God. Title. Okay, subject line. Okay, parenthetical, Godzilla x Kong, over, parenthetical, Mothra, plus Rodan over Ghidorah, end parenthetical, equals question mark? So that's the subject line.
Yeah.
All right. And he writes, I have nothing to add to your discussions of Madam Web or Godzilla x Kong, except for clarification. Like, the X in Spy x Family, the X in Godzilla x Kong is not pronounced. I just pronounced it wrong. And he cites, two sources. And he also says, I will also add, it was fun hearing about Chewie's dream. Well, it wasn't fun having it. And lastly, I will request that you solve the math problem in this email subject. you're gonna have to copy paste this into the episode description.
I did. Oh yeah, I will. I'll post it in the episode description. I also paste it in the chat. So Ryan,
there will be a fabulous reward for the listener who writes in with the answer to this math problem.
We got to keep in mind order of operations. So especially the Mothra plus Rodan over Ghidorah. Mm-hmm. That like, what's the order of operations in the monster verse?
I assume it's still PEMDAS. You still got to go. Okay, so I don't know what Rodan divided by Ghidorah is. Let's see. Common denominators here. I can't do this.
Exactly. You gotta find the lowest common denominator of both of those. Is Mothra plus Rodan over? No, it's just Rodan over Ghidorah.
It's hard to really
plus put Mothra.
Typical, like, proper mathematical formatting in a subject line of an email. So, Kev, I'm gonna need you to send us some.
The answer is Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh. Well, that's cool.
I'm not going to show my work. But I think it's the right answer, so I should get full credit.
A reverse chunk fire chunk. I have not watched the Knuckles show yet. And I don't know how I'm... four of us, if you're counting Chris...
How have you?
I've been the one who hasn't
watched it.
Right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway... Kev, wait, okay, so, okay, wait, we're getting off topic. The important meat of this is how to pronounce the X in Godzilla X Kong.
Well, yeah, I think I brought that up.
We did talk about it, and I was wrong. Kev is correct. You're not supposed to pronounce the X. And I actually did cite Spy X Family in the episode. I use that as a point of reference. Because I said, in this anime, you do pronounce the X, but Kev is right, you actually don't, so my site was wrong.
We're going
to have to go
this.
Back and re-record all of that episode to correct this.
I won't, and I don't accept this answer. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right to me.
Well, I thought I had mentioned at some point in the episode where I said that the X is silent. I personally pronounced it.
So we're
it
just supposed to
times,
say Godzilla Kong?
Yeah, I think that's the... But, like, what's the point then? Why have the X
Godzilla
at all?
Kongzilla. Yeah, that's what we were calling it.
Just call it Godzilla.
Well, cause
what if it was just Godzilla Kong? Like, what if there was no X in the title?
Maybe they could put a comma.
You know, if they actually just moved some of these...
Godzilla
plus Kong. You're changing the equation here, but I think that's a better title.
I like the plus. It's cute.
Well,
what about a heart emoji?
But also hyphen. Hyphen is naturally not a pronounced, you know, symbol in the English language. We don't pronounce hyphens, so it was built in. Just put the hyphen there.
No, I like it. I like it when you have two words smashed together with no space, but the second word has the first letter capitalized, like Yumchunks. I like that.
Oh yeah.
But then that's probably multiplication.
That's the real
at that
answer.
Point.
But Yumchunks is one entity. Godzilla and Godzilla Kong is not one entity.
I don't think you understand this organization, Ryan.
What are the yum and what are the chunks?
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't think they're two distinct things.
All right. Well, I don't accept that answer.
Listeners, are they two distinct things? How do you perceive yum chunks? What is it? Is it a combination of two, or is this a singular thing? Let us know. Yeah. Nathan, I'm expecting an email.
Because if it is two distinct things, we're going to have to put an X between our name. Yum X Chunks.
But we don't pronounce it, so we could still say the same.
Exactly.
We could still say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. What have you done? What have you done?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling that out.
Yeah, thank you for calling out. Thank you for making us re-examine who we are. Yeah. We need that. It's magic.
All right. Well, okay. So this movie kicked off the summer, I guess.
It's earlier than Memorial Day, which is traditionally the big summer movie kickoff, but maybe it's getting earlier now because I do feel like Fallout guy. What do you like more? Fallout, the Fall Guy, or Fallen Kingdom?
Or Frozen. Wait, no. Fallen Kingdom.
the Jurassic
Fallen Frozen Kingdom was the Ghostbusters. Right.
That was Empire.
Oh, no, was there a Fallen Empire?
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
No.
Or Worlds.
No, I thought that was Fallen Kingdom.
That was Fallen Kingdom. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kingdom. Okay. Dangerous Googling.
It's a dangerous Google.
Okay, Fallen Empire. This is just stuff about Magic the Gathering cards.
Well, don't click away. What does it say?
Jedi, Star Wars Jedi, Star Wars The Old Republic, Knights of the Fallen Empire. Okay, that's what happens if I took the S off of that search term. Okay, what was I trying to search?
I don't know.
Frozen 3. All right.
Frozen 3 is just called Empire.
All right. Well, okay, wait, no. What was I talking about? Okay, movies that are coming out in the next whatever.
There is a Kingdom coming out next week, which I think we should do an episode on. That is The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen the last two. Is this 5?
Oh, you gotta watch the last two.
I know.
They're good.
I know.
They are, they're good.
I know.
Well, it's funny, like, I think I was where you are now, where I'm like, I don't want to see these movies. But then I did, and they were good. I'm like, dang, I'm an idiot.
No. I know that I'm going to feel that way. And it's not for lack of wanting to see the movies. It's just that I got behind. I happened to be busy.
Yeah.
When this is the fifth one coming out, right?
The fourth one. Well, the fourth of the new
one. Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm only two, but I'm only one behind. Okay, yeah. The third one came out, and I was busy and I missed it. And then once that happened, I was kind of like, okay, when am I going to sit down and watch this movie? And now, because this new one's coming out, I feel like I do need to make time to go back and watch the last one so I can watch this one. And it feels like an even bigger chore. So, I don't know. But then I'm like, shouldn't I watch the second one again?
The second one's my favorite. The War is the third. And that one is good. And I think you should watch it, but I also don't know if you need to watch it before this.
That doesn't matter. I know. I don't know, but I'm not gonna watch the new one without watching the third one, yes. And I'm not gonna watch the third one without watching the second one again. I don't need to watch the first one again. I watched it a few times. I remember it. I remember it just fine.
Yeah,
I think we saw it together in the theaters.
Probably. Yeah. The first probably. One.
I remember talking
about it. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. May 24th, Furiosa. I'm really looking forward to that one.
I know. Yeah. Yep. If is in 2 weeks, I think.
And look.
Ryan Reynolds.
I'm looking forward to the new Bad Boys. I am. I'm looking forward.
I forgot that movie was even coming out.
We got Inside Out 2 coming later this summer.
Yeah.
Which is fine, I guess.
Deadpool's
showing up at some point with his buddy.
Deadpool X Wolverine.
Oh no. Oh. Twisters.
Oh no. Yeah.
Twisters. That's gonna be a big.
Oh yeah.
Big.
We were making fun of that trailer before Fall Guy.
Yeah, just don't drive towards the tornado.
Yeah.
They're twins.
Don't drive towards them. There's two of them.
Just go the other way.
Just drive. Turn around. Drive the other way. There's no conflict now.
That guy is the guy from Anyone But You.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
Okay. Have you seen...
Generic Man. Generic guy.
Yeah, he's Generic Man. That's his superpower name. Also, if they call...
This is X-Men 97 power.
If they called Wolverine X Deadpool, and they called it Weapon XX Deadpool.
But you only pronounce one of the X's. The other X is silent.
Thank you. That was my X-Men joke for this evening.
Oh, I get it now. Okay. Well, there's some stuff coming up.
Anyways, we're going to be busy this summer. We got a lot of stuff. I mean, we still haven't even done the Avatar show.
Oh, right. I have watched it now. I don't know.
I still have not finished. I haven't finished. I've watched
it. I just cranked through it. I just watched, just muscled through it before work. So I've seen it. I've seen it
before work on like one day.
How's your workout? I woke up at 2 a.m.
Over like 3 days. I just like two episodes each morning. And I just got through it. I've seen it. I have opinions on it. I have thoughts on it. What are they? Well, Korakast fans, if there are any left, I'm not going to tell you right now.
Keep them
warning. What a tease.
String them along. Well, anyways, yeah, listeners, there's a lot. It's a big summer. The summer is broken. We're here. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about it. So
Despicable Me 4.
Future episodes. Oh, no. Garfield movie.
The Garfield.
Is Borderlands this summer?
It is. It's in August.
Yeah, Borderlands.
It's closing out the summer.
The new Alien...
Rhombus?
Nos...
Rhombus? Was
it? Rhombus?
Romulus. Rhombus, yes. Remus.
Yeah.
Romulus and Remus. Yeah, so there's a lot to talk about. Going to be fun times here. Write in. Tell us what you thought of Aliens, Romus, and also the Fall Guy and other things. But otherwise, stay tuned for next week. And I don't know. What's a meta joke I could make about Emily Blunt?
Oh, The Quiet Place Part 3.
There you go. Quiet Place. Do you think John Krasinski was upset that they flirted a lot on this movie?
Nailed it, Sean.
Yes. Got it. Yes. Who's Ryan Gosling married to?
Ava Mendez.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that.
Pretty sure.
Okay. Why do attractive famous people have to marry other attractive famous people? Why can't they just be married to like a school teacher or something?
I don't know, Sean. Why can't they just be married to a school teacher or something?
Well, Hugh Jackman is famously married to someone who's not famous.
Who is it?
She's not famous.
Oh. Well, point taken.
What is she in, though? Like, what's she in?
You know, we don't have to end the episode with a joke.
Bye!
This has been
After the Credits,
a Yum Chunks podcast.